Hello and welcome back to SFL Set for Life. You're in for such a treat today because sitting next to me is the MVP of all MVPs, Jeffrey Levitan. And, you know, I'm going to ask Jeff a couple questions and hopefully we're going to pull out some golden nuggets for all of you. You know, Jeff, I always say this, that it took me 7 years to get my first $100,000 ring, yet you got your ring in 7 months. Then you were making seven-figure income before you were 30. Can you tell people how it was that it happened to you in your life, in business?
Well, I think I could tell people how I got to that income, but more importantly, the reason I got there quickly and the reason I ascended quickly is because I came to the table with a lot of good habits. You know, we are our habits. You know, there's the old saying, you are what you eat. You are your habits. I will tell you that your habits will show up everywhere in your life. And I came to the table with some decent habits that I built. I'd been through a lot, like a lot of people have, but I did early in my life. And you know, people look at themselves and they say, oh, that one's a winner, that one's a loser. And they look at people and judge them as winners or losers. In my opinion, there's people with winning habits and there's people with losing habits. You change the habit, you change the result. So you could change your losing habits and start practicing some more winning habits, and then you'll start winning more. In the same respect, just because you won before doesn't mean you'll always continue winning. You could actually win for a while and be known as somebody who has won and accomplished things and then be down in the dumps. We've all ran into people who we know where it's almost sad. They used to be somebody. They used to be famous. They used to be rich. They used to be this. They used to be that. And now look at them. What happened? Well, their habits changed. So our habits are everything, everybody. And, you know, if you could just identify what your habits are that are probably producing you your results, either successful or the opposite, you can embrace those that are getting you to where you need to go. So sit down if you would. I'd recommend go through a little task and ask yourself, what are your good habits? Make a list of your good habits and a list of your bad ones. And you just go to work on them, you know? And I think even acknowledging what your good ones are is a power also, because you can go to that lever more often. You can, that'll be your winning formula, that you reach out and grab that lever of something you know you're good at when you need to. It's like an athlete with their maybe in basketball, they've got their one shot. They know that they can make all the time. So what's your go-to habit that's a winning habit? And then what are the ones you really need to avoid that you know are hurting you and bringing you down in your life? Habits are everything.
Man, that is really good, Jeff. I think of that one quote by Confucius. He says, human beings are very similar. What separates them are their habits. You know, Jeff, we have a lot of people on our team that, you know, that maybe they're stuck at 50,000, maybe they're stuck at 80,000, some are stuck at 120, some are stuck at 180. But what would you say to someone that, you know, they're just kind of in a rut right now and they just can't seem to get past it?
A lot of people feel stuck in life, and when you feel stuck, normally there's something going on in your life that you need to change. And a lot of it has to do with yourself. It's not, you think the rut is outside of you, but the rut is inside of you. You're going through a particular motion on a regular basis that is preventing you from getting anywhere. So soon, you have to start with the premise, we're supposed to grow our whole entire life. Life is supposed to get better. We're supposed to be happier. We're supposed to be more fulfilled. We're supposed to be wealthier. You're supposed to progress. So if you're not progressing, immediately something needs to change. And it's not on the outside. It's on the inside. It's a way of your thinking. It's the way of you're interpreting things or your perception. Something needs to change on the inside. And so that's where personal development comes in. Call it what you might, but people got to work on the way they think about things. And the only thing that affects that are the books we read and the people we associate with. But it's not just, a lot of people start reading more books and hanging out with more successful people. But if they don't change, if they don't let that change the way they think, just reading books doesn't help. And just hanging out with successful people doesn't help. So you got to remember that is, that's the first step. That's the initiative you need to take. But then the real change comes at the speed of thought. Once you start thinking differently about how you're approaching things in your life, that's when things around you will start to change. So the personal development really has to do with growing your thinking. So as you grow your thinking and you start to think differently, so everything in your life will start to change.
That's really good, Jeff. Now I think of a quote. You know, I always think of a quote, but I think of the quote that you'll never change anything that you tolerate. You got to get a little sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, let me ask you this question, Jeff, because I have seen over the years how you've retained so many people on your team. I mean, you have, you know, men and women on your team been here 5 years, 10 years. You got them here 15 years, and you literally got some that have been here since you've been here for 24 years. So what would you say is something you can help people about building those relationships and having people stick around and keep retention like you're so good at doing?
Well, I think first you got to decide you want to retain people, that there's a benefit in retaining people. Now, we all know there's people in our life, toxic people we do need to get rid of. But by far and large, what we get frustrated with in people is that they're not doing what we want them to do. If they only did what I wanted them to do, they'd be more successful. If they only listened to me more, they'd be. But what about who they are as a person? As long as they have integrity, and as long as they're kind, and as long as they're not damaging your brand, they're still a connector. They're still a relationship. They're still a piece of the major puzzle, even if they're not a major piece of the puzzle. And if somehow, in some way, they represent you, they advertise you, they might even be a client of yours in some business or another, ask yourself, do you really want to push them away because they're not top performers or peak performers? Our job is to filter out the peak performers. The cream rises to the top. People, the military has Navy SEALs. Businesses have their different type of advanced classes that draw people to the top. And you're supposed to go and identify the top players, but you also got to respect and appreciate the masses and just where they fit in your life. I still believe you need to get rid of people with integrity issues and toxicity that can bring down an environment. But for the most part, most people, they're worth having around. They're worth having in a good relationship with and having them appreciate their association with you or your company one way or the other. So I would tell you got to love people and you got to appreciate them. If people are missing one thing more than anything else in the world, it's recognition and appreciation. There's no shortage in any of our lives of people who criticize us, tell us what we're not good at, remind us of our shortcomings. We all have people, they're usually our family members, but we have so many people like that in our life. But there's a massive shortage of people that find our greatness, remind us of it, tell us something good about ourselves once in a while. Here's one thing I want you to try, literally. Take somebody who's not a high performer, and today, go and just compliment them on something. Just tell them something you appreciate about them. Let it be sincere. Let it be real. If they're 5'1", don't tell them you appreciate their height. Or if they're 400 pounds, don't tell them you appreciate their fitness. I mean, keep it real, but find something that you appreciate about them and tell them about it and watch. They won't leave your side for the rest of the day. They'll be looking for you to walk in the office tomorrow. It'll be quite the opposite of normally what you get, which is, hey, what are you doing? Why are your numbers so low? Why are you so bad at this? And they run away and they hide when you come. You're gonna become a magnet. And these people might actually step up and do something if they're feeling a little more empowered. So.
That's really good, Jeff. That is really good. You know, Jeff, I'll never forget the day I met you. You were 24 years old, and I said to you, Jeff, let's say you're making six figures here or even seven figures. Tell me a couple things. And you said to me, Greg, I really want to get a yellow Hummer, one of those military yellow Hummers. And then you said to me, and one day, Greg, I want to have a castle. And nobody in every hiring review ever said that to me. But you know what? I know back then you weren't thinking about philanthropy. You weren't thinking about giving. So I'd like you to just think about somebody out there that's 30, 35 years old, that, you know, says to themselves, you know, why would I want to be a philanthropist? I mean, what is the benefits to giving? And, you know, everybody knows that you started this great charity called All for One. Why did you choose that kind of a charity over any other kind of charity, Jeff?
Well, a couple things. First, I dare you to try on giving to somebody. And I don't mean somebody that you want something in return from. Literally, help somebody that you have no financial interest in and just see how it feels for a minute. You know, when you don't come from much, and as you know, I grew up in a blue-collar family in Chicago, and I didn't grow up with any money. And so you want stuff. It's totally okay. If you didn't grow up with much, it's okay to want things. Nice cars, big houses, a Rolex, something fancy, ladies. Maybe it's Gucci this or some shoes with the red bottoms, whatever the case might be. It's okay to want that stuff. That's first and foremost. And it will bring you some degree of happiness and satisfaction. But the more of it you get, you'll find out there's the law of diminishing returns. It doesn't make you as excited. Your second Mercedes doesn't make you as happy as the first one. Your second Rolex isn't as big of a deal as the first one you got. And eventually, you start to realize there's got to be more to life than this, than just acquiring stuff and then dying. And so Tony Robbins said recently, it's easier to find a billionaire than a totally fulfilled person. So the point is fulfillment. What gives you the sensation of fulfillment? And I thought it was going to be stuff, to be honest. Then I thought it was going to be popularity and fame. These things are at the very surface level. They do work, and they do bring you excitement and happiness temporarily. But you want to do something that makes you fulfilled long-term? Help change someone's life. Make a difference in someone's life. And it could be giving them money, but it could just also be giving them time. It could be giving them attention. It could be giving them hope. So I started giving a little bit more than just getting. And you know what? It just felt way better. I knew it. I said, look, I still want more stuff, but I really want to make a difference. And then I started asking myself tougher questions. How can one person like myself make as big of a difference in as many people's lives positively as possible? And where can I make the biggest impact with, you know, the small amount of money that I have? And it might be millions, a few million, but it's not billions. You know what I mean? It's changing the world. What's your change the world strategy or plan? I thought, look, I don't know if I can or not, but why not give it a shot? And so that's why I probably started in some of the most impoverished places in the world. You know, when they talk about extreme poverty, these are people living on less than a dollar a day. And there's all sorts of places around the world, a lot of them in Africa, some of them in Central America, where people are living on less than a dollar a day. So you think, okay, if my money will go the furthest there, then you think, all right, well, how do I change things there? I don't just throw the money on the ground. You start with children because they're the future. Every country, everywhere in the world, we all know the children represent the future of that country and the future of the world. So you start with the children, and then you think about, okay, what do they need more than anything when they're kids? They need education and they need to be healthy. And so if you could focus on health and education for underprivileged children, usually orphans, but not necessarily in underdeveloped countries, you can make a huge impact with a small amount. And I thought, that's where I can make the biggest impact the fastest with my one life. And that's why we started All for One, which is basically that. Our goal is to end child poverty and give hope and a future to some of these places. And we're starting with the children and health and education program. So, you know, and it's fulfilling. I don't, whatever, nothing else matters. It really is, maybe it is selfish, but I feel fulfilled when I do it. And then we're making a huge difference. We've already changed tens of thousands of children's future. And if we're changing tens of thousands of children's futures, maybe they'll grow up and change their country. And if all these big countries weren't using these little desperate countries as pawns in the big plan of world control and dominance and stealing resources and leveraging, maybe the world would be a better place if everyone was developed. So some of these countries live like they're 200 years behind,
And if we could bring them up to date, it could literally change the world. So that's the plan. And I'm going to make as much of it as I can with my one life that I have, and certainly invite everybody to look into it and be part of it one way or another.
That's beautiful. You know, I've always called Jeff a prosperity agent from up above, because when he came into my base shop, people were actually closing more sales. Then he went down to Chicago, which is about an hour from me. And then guess what? He's got six or seven people now, got a $100,000 ring. Then he goes down to Atlanta. Then he starts to have a nationwide organization. And then he starts going around the world. And now he's adopted this son from Sierra Leone. And I can see one day that they're going to name that David Levitan Village one day. And just think about that. That's why when you're blessed, you should be a blessing to other people. Jeff, let's finish with this idea right here. I read a quote once that said 5% of people focus on their goals, and the other 95% of people focus on their circumstances. So why don't you talk to the audience right now just about the importance of goals and the topic of goals?
Well, what is a goal, first off and foremost? I would tell you all this, that as a goal, something needs to move you. It needs to motivate you. It needs to be something that gets you up in the morning or that keeps you up at night. When you're real passionate about something, usually it's somebody's hobby, they forget about lunch. They'll work right through lunch doing whatever it is that they're passionate about. So number one, picking the right goals that you're really passionate about. I think that's so, so important in so many ways, because people, they write down goals and they go, well, I still got the same goals forever. I never really did anything with them. Well, they probably weren't the right goals then. They weren't real, or they weren't believable to the one who wrote them down. And I think there's one little risk with goals that everyone still needs to consider. And I believe it's so important that with these goals that you write down, everybody, you're allowed to rewrite them over and over again and get the ones down that move you, that motivate you, that get you up out of bed and get you to do something. But you got to start with the end in mind, too. A lot of people make goals from here forward. And the risk in doing that is, imagine taking a path. You're a climber. You're a mountain climber. Imagine taking a path that you think's the right path, and you just start from here, and you know you want to get to the top, but you just, instead of planning it from the top of the mountain backwards and finding a path that works, you just take whatever path you see. And what if the path doesn't lead you to the top? And that's a little bit of an analogy, but what's the top? It's your fulfillment. It's your success. It's the way you want to see your life end up. Most people, they spend 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the wrong path only to find out that they're not happy. And then they got to come all the way back to the beginning and start over down a different path. And they don't do it often because it just seems like too much work and too much time has been lost. So what's interesting to me is most people wouldn't take a road trip without deciding where it is they were going. A ship wouldn't set sail without knowing its destination. And all of us are living life without knowing where we want it to end up. What's your end game? There's gonna be an end game. One day you're dying, whether you like it or not. The question is, what do you want it to have looked like? What are you looking back over your life? Fast forward to the end and look back and say, all right, what do I want my whole life to add up to? What do I want it to have been? And then spend the rest of your life trying to live into that picture and plan out the strategy to get there. But you got to decide that first. And you should decide it before you launch your ship. You should decide it before you go on that road trip, before you pack up and leave. But it's too late. Some of you listening, you're in your 20s. You're already 20 years in and you haven't thought about where you're going. Some of you are 30s, 40s, 50s, and even 60s listening to this right now. And you don't know what your end game is. Figure that out, and everything else gets a lot more clarity. You start saying, well, I want to be here, so all the time I spend over there isn't getting me any closer. I really shouldn't spend any more time there, and I know why. Because ultimately, I'm not going to make what I want to make out of my life. So I think it's so important to live your life on purpose, to live your life with purpose, to decide what you want it to look like. Start with the end in mind. And I know no one wants to think about their own funeral. No one wants to think about the end of their life. But for just a moment, you need to start there and then work backwards and think big thoughts and be in a good place when you're doing it. Whatever you do, don't set your big life goals when you're in a bad place, because I think you're gonna make a decision out of desperation and fear, and it won't be your real goal. It'll be your minimized ideal of what you think you can achieve. And so when you're in a really good place, when you're feeling really good about yourself, that's when you ask yourself and pop the big question, what do I want my whole life to add up to? And that, my friends, will get you on the pathway to success.
Wow, Jeff. What a tremendous 20 minutes you just gave out as a gift. Jeff, I would say this. When I met you, you're not going to like me saying this, but you were driving that old Chevy Lumina. And you were making about $2,500, $3,000 a month. And if you knew that you could listen to a podcast of a person that was making passive income almost of about $100,000 a week, because that's what Jeff makes, you wouldn't have listened to this one time, Jeff. You would have listened to this over and over and over until that mindset got in yours. Now, I know for a fact that most people aren't going to do it, but I'm talking to that 10 of you out there that say, you know what? I am going to take the mindset I just learned in this 20-minute talk from Jeff Levitan, and his mindset's going to be my mindset. So, hey, once again, thanks for listening to SFL. And remember, if you follow what you learn here, one day you will be set for life. Now, why do you think that my daughter and I are going to use Elite Training Library? Why would I not leverage over 200 videos on there? That's what I'm going to do. You don't have to do it. But if I was you, I'd give them coupons out to everybody on my team.
Sign up at EliteTrainingLibrary.com with coupon code KAPP to get 14 days for free.